coming now to the reading of God's holy word. If you've got the Bible, God's word with you, would you open it at that place? If you don't have a copy of God's word with you, then he that hears, let him hear what the Lord is saying to us. Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out into the multitude of their transgressions. For they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in me rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thy Lord wilt bless the righteous. With favour wilt thou compass him as with a shield. And we'll end our reading at the end of the psalm. We'll keep the word of God open at that place, and let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Our Father, we come to thy holy word now to hear and to see what thou hast got to say to us. We thank you for this psalm. Pray that thou will bless the reading of it to us. We realize there is much significance, much importance in the public reading of the holy word of God in the assembly of the people. Bless the reading. But, O God, bless the preaching. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit for this. Prepare a highway now for thy road to travel upon, and may it reach the hidden depths of every heart. And we pray that we might respond to it appropriately and promptly in such a manner that will glorify thee. Give the preacher the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God now. Give thy help, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The whole of this psalm is a prayer. Notice the very first words. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. He's talking to the Lord, as he is in verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. He's speaking again to the Lord. And if you go right down through the psalm, you'll see in verse after verse, either he's talking about thou or thy, and he's speaking about thee. He's talking to God directly and personally about different matters. And I want to suggest to you today, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to learn how to pray, you could do no better than see how the characters in God's word prayed, and how David prayed, and other psalmists who wrote some of these psalms. This is an important psalm, because we see here how a man in prayer addresses God and communes with him. There are no put-on phrases or well-worn cliches, but rather there is the heart overflowing with matter and desire. And whoever the psalmist is, in this case it's David, We see them addressing God out of a burdened heart. And you can see how important prayer is to them, and especially to David. And I think we can see that most particularly in the third verse of this psalm. And this is the verse I want us to consider together now. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. So what we're seeing here is how David viewed not only prayer, but the importance of it. And we can see how that is so as we come to look at this verse more closely. We can see that he's affirming his commitment to engage in prayer, and he's showing us the importance of it. The three truths, three matters I want you to notice in this verse as we see the importance that David attached to prayer can be seen, first of all, in his resoluteness in prayer. He says in verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear. He's affirming something. He's saying, I'm resolved, I'm determined that thou wilt hear my voice in prayer, Lord. He says in the second verse at the end of it, if you notice that verse again, he says, for unto thee will I pray. This resoluteness is seen, first of all here, in the practice of prayer. With David, prayer was not a delight, and prayer should be a delight to us. But more than that, prayer is a discipline. It is one of the disciplines of the Christian life that a new convert needs to learn and put into practice early on in their Christian experience. Not only whenever we feel like praying should we pray, because very often we don't feel like it. But that's the time that we need to pray. For instance, there's discipline in other aspects. Young people, you don't like the discipline in having to get up and go out to school in the morning, and we can all empathize with that. Adult, you don't always like the discipline of having to get up at a certain time. That alarm is set in order to get ready to go out to work in the morning. Shift at night, whatever. The point is, there's discipline here. There's a discipline with regard to eating, both in the amount of what we eat and at the times that we eat. Disciplines that should be observed. There are disciplines with regard to attending meetings. We know that whenever Sunday comes around, the service starts at 11:30 here, and we have to be out at that particular time. And we understand that if we're well at all, and if we are Christians particularly, then it is our responsibility to be disciplined enough to attend on the means of grace. It's the same with prayer. David was disciplined in his prayer. He says on one particular occasion, he says, I give myself to prayer. And whenever we give ourselves to something, we are deliberately, conscientiously giving the time and giving ourselves to seek the Lord in prayer. And you will find that time and time again in these Psalms. For instance, in Psalm 55, verse 17, he says, evening, morning, and noon will I pray. So we have prayer meeting times here. Mr. Abernethy made mention of them when he was making the announcements. And if possible at all, we should be so disciplined that we get to them. But more importantly, we should be so disciplined that in our own homes, in the quietness where no one else can see us or hear us, that we are alone with God, talking to him about matters perhaps we could never talk to him about even in a public meeting. And then again, you remember how the apostles, whenever a problem arose in the church at Jerusalem, discipline was required in the daily administration for the relief of the widows. And there developed a difficulty that had the potential of splitting the whole church because of the nationalities there. And the apostles heard about this and said, this matter needs to be resolved. This is what you do. Appoint 7 men among you, honest, of good report, wise, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and appoint them over this business. But as for us,
We will give ourselves to prayer continually and to the ministry of the word. So these are works that have to be done. But so often it's the praying that's pushed to one side. David was showing how resolute he was. He says, "My voice shalt thou hear." He was resolute in the practice of prayer. He was resolute in the period of prayer. He's very specific about this. He says in verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord." Morning prayer. Now, it's good to pray at any time. It's good to pray at all times. But there's something particularly important about the morning. Maybe sleepyheads don't like this, but at any rate, we've got to think about this. The morning is the beginning of the day. Before the busyness of the day gets underway, we should bow before the Lord and ask Him for His guidance and seek His company and fellowship whenever we're going throughout the day. Before the cares of the world surround us, it's good to seek the Lord in prayer. Before we meet with the temptations that confront us and tend to overwhelm us or cause us to succumb to them, it would be good for us to seek the strength of the Lord. Before we encounter with life's complexities and struggles, it's good for us to ask the Lord for guidance throughout the day. David was like this in another place in Psalm 88 verse 13. He said, "In the morning shall my prayer prevent thee or go before thee." And through the second verse he says, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning." In Psalm 103 verse 8 he says, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning." I came across this, heard it some time ago, looked it up on the internet. It was most appropriate at this time. I want to read it to you. Somebody wrote these words. "I met God in the morning, when the day was at its best, and His presence came like sunshine, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered, all day long He sealed with me, and we sealed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered, other ships were sore distressed, but the wind came to drive them, brought to me a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings, with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings, with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek God in the morning, if you want Him through the day." Ladies and gentlemen, morning prayer is important. You say, "But I have great difficulty in getting up, and my life's a rush in the morning." I can fully understand what you're saying, but there is an answer to that. Set the clock so many minutes earlier and get done that time earlier and spend time with the Lord in prayer before you go out. Or once the clock is set and you're properly wakened up, seek the Lord, but it's too risky to go through a day without seeking the Lord early in that day. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ, after a very busy day before. The Bible tells us in Mark 1 and verse 35, "And rising up a great while before day, He went out into a solitary place and there prayed." What an example He is to us. Be determined to pray. Be committed to pray. Be resolute in prayer. The resoluteness He showed, and that shows us the importance He attached to prayer. But notice in the second place, not only His resoluteness, but His purposefulness in prayer. He didn't approach prayer in a slipshod manner. Notice what we read here in verse 3. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee." That word direct is so important. Now there are two things to show how purposeful he was in prayer as we look at this word. First of all, there's the orderliness in which prayer is to be presented. We can't come haphazardly. Now there's such a thing as ejaculatory prayer. And there are times that we do shoot up a prayer to the Lord. For instance, whenever Nehemiah was facing King Artaxerxes, and the king said to him, why are you so sad, Nehemiah? And Nehemiah realized this was dangerous for him because he was the king's cupbearer and you were not allowed to be sad in the presence of the king. Your life was endangered if you were. So Nehemiah told him. And then out of the blue, Artaxerxes made this request. Well, what do you want me to do for you? What was Nehemiah to do? So the Bible tells us what he did. He said, so I prayed to the God of heaven. There and then, as the king was speaking to him, what do you want me to do for you, Nehemiah? Nehemiah shot up a prayer to the Lord, and then he made out the list what he wanted the king to do. Nehemiah had been praying for a long time in chapter 1. And long, constant, faithful, disciplined, regular prayer is the soil out of which the flower of ejaculatory prayer can spring. So Nehemiah got the answer from God in a flash, and then the king gave him the supplies, gave him leave to go back to work and build up Jerusalem again, the walls of Jerusalem. But the point is, there has got to be order in prayer. You remember whenever Paul was writing to the Corinthians, that great church of so much talent and gift, and yet things were in a shambles in certain ways. The apostle writes at the end of chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, let all things be done decently and in order. Be orderly, he was saying to them. Whenever Paul was writing to the young minister Titus, he says, for this cause left I in Crete, that thou should ordain elders in every city and set in order the things that are wanting. Very important to do that. The Lord says to the psalmist in Psalm 50, to him that ordereth his conversation aright, that is his way of life there, to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of the Lord. So this word direct has the meaning of whenever the priests were going about their work in the Old Testament, they had to cut up the animal that was slain. And they had to set the pieces of wood in order upon the altar. It was all done according to order. And then whenever they were getting the showbread out to put on the table of showbread in the tabernacle, they set them in order. So there has to be order in this matter of prayer. There should be thought. There should be meditation. There should be consideration. And the arranging of our case before the Lord in prayer. Very quickly, if you just turn back to the previous book, the book of Job, chapter 23, this comes out so clearly. He says in verse 3 of Job 23, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to a seat. Look at this. I would order my cause before him, and fill my mouth with arguments. My, what a way to pray. Not being argumentative and canopsious and contrary with God. He's not using the word argument in that way. Rather, he's giving all the reasons why God should answer my prayer. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. And that's the way we should come to the Lord in prayer. Especially if God has given us something by way of a personal promise, if he has applied the word of God to us, and we're praying over it for a long, long time, we should plead the promise. You remember what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, verse 49. What words? Listen to these words. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Have you got a word from God upon which he has caused you to hope? You have. Good. Well then, plead it. constantly to the Lord in prayer, even though you have to plead it for years. Whenever Nathan the prophet came to David and told David that he was going to have a great dynasty to follow him, this is what David said to Nathan in 2 Samuel 7. He said, Lord, he said rather to the Lord after Nathan had gone, Lord, the word that thou hast spoken to thy servant concerning his house, do as thou hast said. What a way to pray. There's an argument. Lord, you've given your word on the matter. Do as thou hast said. That's what Paul said that night. He stood in the ship whenever they were out for a couple of weeks in tempest-tossed seas and darkness, when neither sun nor moon nor stars had appeared for many days. God spoke to Paul the night, and he assured him that all was going to be well. And the men in the ship were at their wits' end. And Paul says, sirs, don't be afraid, because God has shown me there's not going to be the loss of any man's life on this ship. And here's what he says. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul knew how to plead the promises. We need to know how to plead the merit of Christ. We have no merit of our own, but the Lord Jesus has merit, and his name is precious in heaven. Plead the blood. Plead the wounds. Plead the promises. Plead the name of Jesus. Say, Father, the Lord Jesus Christ has said I was to use his name. And the name means authority. It has weight and power and value with God, the Father. And we come to the Father by the Spirit through the Lord Jesus. And say, Lord, I'm coming to you in Jesus' name, with his authority behind me for this matter. That's what it means, ladies and gentlemen, to direct your prayer. Order your cause. Bring your reasons and arguments. Get well organized. And settle down and plead the word. Keep the Savior before you, our great apostle and high priest of our profession. The orderliness that was required. And then, secondly, with regard to this purposefulness, not only the orderliness, but the one to whom prayer is to be presented. Notice what he says in this verse, verse 3 of Psalm 5. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, not to any religious figure, not to Mary even, not to the dead saints. Only one person, the Lord God Almighty. He's the only one that prayer is to be offered to. He is the living God. He's alive. He says, my voice shalt thou hear. Verse 2, hearken unto the voice of my cry. Verse 8, lead me. Verse 12, he will bless the righteous. Dead people cannot do these things. And if you could just get it into your mind, ladies and gentlemen, and see that God is alive, you will see how important prayer is in itself unto you. We are addressing, through the Lord Jesus, the living God. But the Lord's not only the living God. He is the listening God. He hears the prayers of his people. Psalm 65, verse 2. The psalmist says, O thou that hearest prayer, to thee all flesh shall come. He says in Psalm 6, verse 9, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Psalm 66 and verse 19, verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. That means that God has been listening to the prayers that the psalmist has been making. The wise man in Proverbs chapter 15 verse 9 says, he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Psalm 102 verse 17 says, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Proverbs 15 verse 8, the prayer of the upright is God's delight. And it was David's purpose to prepare his petitions and send them to the God of heaven. Now, if you just take that picture there, I will direct my prayer unto thee. You have the thought of an archer in olden times. He takes the arrow out, he fits it to the bow, he takes the aim, and he lets the arrow fly. And this is what David is saying. The target that we are after is God himself and what we want from him at this given period. Well, then we've got to take care. Get the arrow to the bow and pull the string back. Get the arrow to the target and let fly. What a picture it is of both orderliness and the one to whom the prayer is to be presented. Purposefulness. Whenever you come to pray, ladies and gentlemen, do you have a purpose in mind? Is it to get the ear of God? To get the things that God has promised in his word and things perhaps that you long for and desire, if they're according to his mind? The importance of prayer can be seen in David's resoluteness and also in his purposefulness. But there's one other thing I want to show you from this. Let's read this third verse again from Psalm 5. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Or in the Hebrew, look out. Here's watchfulness in prayer. This shows that this man, first of all, is in earnest about his praying. What he's actually doing is, he's looking up to see how the arrow sped to the target. Only in our cases, we're thinking of it spiritually. He's looking up to see how his prayer progressed toward God, how it got through to God. Now, let me say to you, and ask the question, how many petitions have we sent up to God and we don't see if they have fared very well? Do we take the time? How many times have we prayed to God and have forgotten within a very short while what we prayed about? I'm afraid we're not looking up. If there be an earnestness about what we desire and the degree to which we desire it, we will take a deep interest in what we're praying about. And we look out for the progress of our petitions when they are pointed and the arrow is released to see if the arrow has sped to its target. We need thoughtfulness. And we need to see the progress of our petitions. And that brings me to the second part. Not only the earnestness of the petitioner, but the expectation of the petitioner. David was looking up because he expected God to come with the answer. Now, let me give you two or three illustrations of this from the Word of God. We're thinking of the arrow here for a moment. Do you remember the story early on in David's life when he had been anointed to be the king? And he was doing great exploits, and Saul gave him his daughter. But Saul developed a green eye. He became envious and jealous of David. And he sought to kill him, sought to take the javelin on a few occasions and slay him with it. There was a feast to take place. And David had fled from Saul, not finally at this time, but he was still in hiding. Jonathan, meanwhile, was the intermediary there. And Jonathan kept him informed. And they knew that there was a feast, a three-day feast. And David said to Jonathan, listen, I can't go to that feast unless I know that I'm not going to be speared. And Jonathan says, well, I'll keep you informed, David. And they hit on a plan. And the plan was that Jonathan was to go to the feast without David. If David's seat was empty and Saul raised a rumpus, word was to come to David. That your life's only going to be in danger here. Now the first day Saul said nothing. But the second day, when David wasn't there, the second day Saul became very angry. And what an interaction between Saul and Jonathan. What a row there was. And Jonathan had to get the word to David. Now here was the plan. Jonathan said, I'm going to bring my lad out and fire some arrows. You hide where you've been hiding. And whenever I come near where I know you are, I'll fire the arrows. If I say to the young fellow, the arrows are beyond thee, then David, you know, it's not safe for you to come here. You need to flee. But if I say, the arrows are on this side of you, the young fellow will not know anything what's going on, but David would know. So Saul took the young lad out, fired the arrows, and when the young fellow was running after him, he fired another arrow, and he said, the arrows are beyond thee. And the young fellow went on past where David was hiding, brought the arrows back hastily to Jonathan. Jonathan sent the young lad back to the palace, says, I'll follow you later, take my artillery with you. And then he and David had their farewells. But the point is, David watched carefully with his ears. He couldn't see with his eyes, but he was listening, and he would see that way whether his life was going to be in danger or not. And you can be sure that he was watching carefully where the arrows would light, how they progressed, to determine whether he would flee or if he could go back to the palace. That's what I mean, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to be intent to see if there's any answer coming. You remember on another occasion, whenever Elijah had offered the sacrifice in Mount Carmel, and God had come down in mighty power, and the false prophets were slain, instead of going back to seek some rest, Elijah climbed further up the mountain, cast his head between his knees, and he sent the servant to look out over the sea. He said, what did you see? He came back and he said, I saw nothing. He said, go again 7 times. He sent the servant to watch while he himself was praying for the rain. You remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 130? My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. The watchmen would have been on the ramparts of the city. They've been looking out all over the place, especially the men that would give the word that day was about to break or day was breaking. And people, especially people who were lonely or people who were sick or people who had problems and could not sleep, they've been so glad to see the shafts of light coming, introducing another day. And David says, I wait for the Lord in prayer more than those people watch for the morning. Do you remember how Gideon, when he was told he was going to deliver Israel, he says, Lord, you have said that I would deliver Israel. That being so, would you do something for me? He says, I want to take this fleece. I want to put it on the ground. Would you let the fleece be wet with dew when I get up in the morning and let all the ground be dry? See how Gideon looked up. As soon as he was up in the morning, out he was to that fleece that he led. He lifted it up and he wrung it out. It was wet. The ground was dry. God had answered his prayer, but Gideon wanted to go further. He says, Lord, don't be angry with me. Just one more time. Would you reverse the order tonight? Would you let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet? And sure enough, when he woke up in the morning, first thing, how is it with the fleece in the ground? The fleece was dry and the ground was wet. God had answered his prayer. He was like David, looking up to see how his petition had gone. Let me give you another reference, and it is this. I mentioned Elijah on Mount Carmel. Whenever, again, the false prophets had leaped on their altar and cut themselves and shouted for hours for their God Baal to hear them, and Elijah standing there mocking them. When all of that was over, the Bible said, come all you round to me. And he took stones and he made an altar for God of the 12 tribes of Israel, a stone for each tribe. The Bible says he set the wood on order. He took the animal and he slew it and he set its pieces on the wood. dug a trench around the altar, poured barrels of water over the altar where the sacrifice was. And then he came to God. It's the time of the evening sacrifice in Jerusalem, coming to God on the grounds of the shed blood of the sacrifice. And he says, God, let it be known this day that thou art God, and I am thy servant. And what did he do? He looked up, because he said, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And as he prayed, he looked for the answer. And sure enough, the answer came in the form of the fire from heaven consuming the sacrifice. Watchfulness and prayer, brethren and sisters. Whenever we pray, let's look for the answer and inquire when they're not coming. God has a time, of course, but there may be something in ourselves that's holding back the answer. Or maybe he's trying to teach us patience, or maybe he's trying our faith with a view to strengthening it. But at any rate, let, as it was with David, prayer be of the utmost importance. And let us show the same resoluteness, and the same purposefulness, and the same watchfulness. And then we'll be men and women who will know by experience just how valuable prayer is in our own lives. And for men and women here who are not saved yet, I want to urge you to pray. I want to urge you to this prayer, because this is the most basic prayer that you can pray, and the most necessary prayer that you can pray before you'll ever be heard in any other way from God. And it is this: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall pray, he shall be saved. Will you pray today that prayer? Trust Christ as your Savior. Receive him into your heart and life. Pray that prayer. And if you mean it from your heart, God will hear it. He'll receive it. He'll answer it, he'll save you, and he'll put you into the place where you'll be able to come to him constantly and pray to the living, listening God who will give you an answer of peace. Let's bow together in prayer.